Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peake, here with John Wells.
Now the Salt Lake-based company firm called Blinksy, it has created a unique traffic sensor that picks up your electronic signals as you pass regularly throughout the day without acquiring any of your personal or private data. These devices are housed in small, discrete boxes that are usually mounted on street or light poles. The data then is retrieved completely anonymous and is housed in a secure database. The revolutionary service has made it possible to understand trends and give insights and analytics from the real world like Google does online. Joining us to explain how it all works is Blinksy CEO Mark Pittman here in the studio. Mark, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to have you. Tell us about your company.
Yeah, so Blinksy started as an idea that I had as a student at the University of Utah in April of 2014. I was a student, I left campus one night, and I got stuck at a traffic light. And for the first time in my life, I questioned the infrastructure around me, how traffic works, and I wondered why the traffic light didn't know I was there. So we spent a lot of time in really close cooperation with Salt Lake City and with Utah Department of Transportation, and they were really, really welcoming and very, very inviting and helped me understand what was happening. So I was a law school student getting an MBA. I had no idea what I was doing in the engineering space. I have no mathematics background, a computer science background. But what was very obvious to us was that government has a really hard time recruiting data scientists, software developers, and that was a really fundamental skill set that was kind of missing to make sense of what's happening on the roads. So we set out to be the data scientists, the software engineers. And our vision today is to build the network that operates and controls the traffic grid, to be that central data repository, ingesting and absorbing data, making decisions, and sending them right back out to the traffic grid to control the signals and tell cars how to behave differently to have a better experience.
So if you have an electronic device and it has Bluetooth enabled, other devices or certain devices can pick that up within, I don't know, 325 feet or something like that. And on the road, most of the Bluetooth devices, I would assume, would have to be cell phones. So you're not picking up the unique attributes of the person that owns that phone or who they are. So you don't know where somebody is, but you know where everybody's going anonymously. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. So think about it like this. When your phone tries to pair to the Bluetooth in your car, to your Fitbit device, it's exchanging what's called a MAC address. It's the unique identifier of your Wi-Fi device or your Bluetooth device. And Blinksy is basically just listening for that business card that your phone's sending to your Fitbit. We pick it up, we say, hey, thanks so much, we received this. And then we take that and we immediately we go through a process called hashing and salting, where we basically black out the name. We don't know the original identifier anymore. There's no connection to the owner. We don't know who you are. We don't want to know who you are. We picked up a unique ID. We turned it into our own, and we delete your original. And what that allows us to do is to understand the movement and behavior of 60 to 70% of the population in real time, every Wi-Fi and Bluetooth-enabled device. So Fitbits, cars, cell phones, iPads, now it's Nike-enabled Bluetooth shoes. All of the new technologies are allowing us to do this. And most recently, we've also adopted technology that allows us to pick up the tire pressure monitoring sensor in all four tires of almost every car today. So providing us the ultimate, what we call ground level truth data on the travel time of every tire on your car to every other sensor we have deployed, only within 100 feet, providing high accuracy, high fidelity travel time and speed data that then also tells us where people came from and where they went without knowing who they are.
So what you're saying then is your unique ID doesn't come off with a 435 area code or a 510 area code, sort of revealing where you might be from.
That's exactly right. It's just a random device number. So if you flew in from LA and I saw you at the airport for the first time, I have no idea where you came from or what you're doing. I just know this device showed up. It's no different than if you bought a new iPod at the City Creek Apple store and walked it down to the airport. It looks all the same to me. Bunch of random letters and numbers, no connection to personal identity. It's not personally identifiable, and we like to keep it that way.
I had no idea that my tire pressure sensors might have, well, they're not Bluetooth enabled.
They're basically Bluetooth. So they have their own 315 megahertz frequency that the FCC set aside in 2007 when Tread Act was passed by Congress in 2005, requiring all new vehicles to have it in all four tires of their car.
Great.
Out on Deer Valley Drive, for example, well, I should say 224 because that's probably where most of our listeners are sitting in traffic right now. What is, in your opinion, the most useful thing that Blinksy data is a or Blinksy's able to pull from the big data generated from all those Bluetooth sensors.
So for all the people sitting in traffic right now waiting to go ski, you're going to see two portable changeable messaging signs on the side of the road. One as you come southbound into Park City and one as you head back into Kimball Junction. Those are pretty close to the canyons. Those are ones that we were able to procure with grant funding that USTAR provided in association with the University of Utah, Summit County, and the Utah Department of Transportation. And we actually power the travel time messages on those signs. So on my drive in this morning, I turned on my stopwatch as I approached the first sensor, and the sign said 7 minutes to Park City. And sure enough, as I approached 248 in the Kearns intersection here, where the last sensor is, my travel time was 7 minutes and 10 seconds. So pretty spot on things we'd like to see, but we're trying to provide that value right to the public. The part the public doesn't see is the government benefits, and that's really our customer. So Park City was our first public sector, our private sector customer, our first customer to deploy this, and we've been up here for over 4 years, working on our fifth year now. And there's a lot of additional benefits happening on the government side, but for the public, those messaging signs are now the most obvious use case, in addition to a feature on the Park City Transit website that shows you a dashboard of comparative travel times, what it was like last summer compared to yesterday, what it was like AM versus PM peak. So you can actually see the trends that are happening in the city, understand how roadways are performing at the aggregate level so that you know that your taxpayer dollars are being used in the most efficient way to generate the best value for you as a user.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Mark Pittman. He is the CEO of Blinksy. And of course, one of the challenges is some of these areas like Solomere and Lower Deer Valley, there's one way in and one way out. So we have this great data, but there's not much, you know, it's kind of tough, isn't it?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, the most important thing for us is helping message and understand how to change behavior. So we work really closely with the Sundance Film Festival every year. They've been our customer for the third year running now, and we work with them and Y2 Analytics to develop their annual economic impact report. We have a sensor in every single Sundance venue. We have them at the airport. So when you arrive at the airport, we see you for the first time. We have sensors at or close to all the ski resorts, so we know if you went skiing or likely went skiing. We know how many movies you saw, which movie you saw. We don't know who you are, but we're able to actually quantify these things. But that type of data is then also used to manage demand. So for the 4th of July, every year, there's a slightly different schedule for what parking lots to use, what roads to close, when to close them, how to manage delay, and our data becomes informative there, which is if we see people heading to Deer Valley Drive faster than normal or later than normal, maybe we can change the messaging to affect behavior, communicate to people they should really be using the park and ride to alleviate traffic and congestion. And most recently, we introduced the GPS feeds and all the buses that Park City and Summit County have into our platform. So at the traffic monitoring center here at the police department, the city can actually see how travel delays are affecting the bus routes, the buses behind, if it's a factor of road congestion or not, to kind of bring all those factors together to help people move in the most efficient way possible.
I'm thinking about all these different applications. You know, Bill Gates once said famously that content is king. Maybe data's king, because you have this data. Let's say there's a big box store or it's a national chain. They want to locate in a new city. Well, you know, who's getting off at, you know, there's 10 exits going through this beltway. Where's the real traffic, you know, in the beltway, the people coming in, and then figuring out if they're retail customers or not? I mean, all of this data, there's so many things you can do with it. And do you sell your data to, say, Google Maps or Apple Maps so that they can, how do they provide their traffic updates?
So we haven't sold any data today, and there's a few important reasons for that. But I think the way Google collects data is very, very different. So they're actually pinging your cell phone. They're pulling the GPS off your device. They're typically picking somewhere between 3% and 5% of the population at any point in time. So a fraction of the data that we collect. And as you know, GPS has a slight delay, and even then it's usually aggregated. So if you look at Google Maps on the screen, we lovingly like to say, look at the red, yellow, green on there and tell me what it means. It's very hard to know what it means. There's no relative value. It's just a function, a color scheme to make it easy to interpret what potential delays are going to be like. Our data on the opposite end of the spectrum, our red corresponds to a specific number, a minute and 27 second delay, whatever that is, because we have such high fidelity, such accurate data, they're able to pull that in continuously. And you're right, there are a host of applications. Sundance is a perfect example. Park City and Sundance really cooperate here to try and drive as much economic value for the local community as possible, manage and maintain the roadways in the most efficient way possible for the public, and there's a benefit to Sundance. So we believe that bringing together both public and private sector across our data set is critical to helping communities thrive. We believe if they use our data sets, they're operating on the same playing field, They're not arguing whose data is right and whose data is wrong. They're using the same data sets to have an initial conversation and kind of work out what needs to happen to both most effectively benefit the community on both ends.
So, Mark, a lot of tech companies have gotten into trouble for following their customers. An example would be Uber. Once I've gotten out of an Uber vehicle, they still are following me. What are the main privacy hurdles that you've had to overcome, and how do you differentiate your company, Blinksy, from, you know, someone who's being naughty and following their customers?
Yeah, so the single most important thing is we don't know who you are. Everyone else does. So Google, Uber, you name it, you're opting in. They know your contact information, their banking history, your address. They have information about you that we don't have. So all we have is a random unique ID. We might have it for your cell phone and your watch and three different pieces of information in your car. We haven't grouped those together. We don't know they're all one device. We don't know what house you live in. We don't know any more information than where you get on the freeway in the mornings and where you might get off. And even then, we only know of it for that unique ID. So the first piece is, the data sets are distinctly different because we don't know who you are and we can't know who you are. It's physically impossible to do that. And by hashing and salting the data set, it's very, very difficult to reverse engineer, almost impossible. And in 2015, we worked with the legislature here in the Utah Department of Transportation to pass House Bill 369, which was the first privacy bill of its type in the state that helped protect this type of data, prevented government from using the data, even owning the data, made it available as a service only through analytics. So Park City pays for our analytics and software dashboard. They don't have the data. They can't make sense of the data themselves, and we protect it. It gives us, the private sector company, the ability to go to court and challenge it if anyone ever tried to use it. And even then, it'd be really, really difficult to do because you still don't know who that is and what device it came from because we delete the original device reference to begin with.
Wow.
So we try to be really proactive.
So these little Blinksy boxes are physical boxes installed in around town. How many are in Park City proper?
Yeah.
And how many in the greater Park City area?
Yeah, so there's between Park City, Kimball Junction area, there's 75 or so deployed today. We have them all up and down Parley's Canyon, and there are over 500 in the Salt Lake Valley. The University of Utah has its own 100 sensor deployment on campus. They're at track stations at the airport, on the I-15 corridor from Tooele all the way up to Logan. You know, we've really spanned and worked our way through the entire Salt Lake Valley.
When you say that our MAC address is random, is it actually random, or is it a unique MAC address that is always on my cell phone, for an example?
It is a random identifier that's assigned by the manufacturer when you get your device. You can actually change it. It's not the most common thing to do, but you could change it yourself if you wanted to. But it is always the MAC address of your device. It's what lets your Wi-Fi router know that it's the same device connecting again. It doesn't have to ask you for your password over and over.
So I would say then that it's not random so much as it might be random when it's assigned when the cell phone is manufactured, but it is unique to you. So if someone was traveling down the road and they knew your MAC address, they could triangulate and they could actually track you. Let's say it was a dignitary and somebody wanted to do something bad to that person. That's possible, isn't it?
So yeah, the difference is you'd have to have sensors everywhere, right? Which mm-hmm. is part of the value proposition. So we let all of our customers share data for free. The second piece is they have to have the original MAC address. We delete that immediately
right.
and turn it into our own, what we call Blinksy ID. So that hashing and salting process eliminates that from being possible in our system. That's the types of level of scrutiny that we've kind of taken. And we allow everyone to share data for free in our platform. So Park City can see who's coming from Logan to Little Cottonwood Canyon as opposed to who's coming up here to ski. All that data shared for free with all the government agencies in the state. Through our analytics platform, they don't get access to that raw data feed, so they can't make those types of insights themselves.
Right.
And we do that to make it difficult for intelligence agencies to use our data in inappropriate ways.
One of my favorite cult movies was about 25 years ago. The first movie was Blade Runner. And then they came out with this great sequel a couple of years ago. But 25 years ago, Harrison Ford, actor, is in Blade Runner. He is the Blade Runner. And he's walking down this dystopic, really cold, dark street. And all of a sudden, people start, the stores start talking to him. And they knew his size. They knew what he liked and all those sorts of things. I was going to ask you, when are we going to get there? But I think we're already there, aren't we?
We're not far from it, that's for sure, especially on the internet. It's just taking that to the personal level. And it's all possible today. The technology all exists. It's just customer comfort. At this point, I think the reason it hasn't been implemented is there's aversion to it. But we're getting, you know, Gen Z is becoming more and more interested in that type of application, that type of technology.
Well, let's talk about how to monetize this data for mm-hmm. other applications, because sure. you're collecting it. What sort of thoughts mm-hmm. do you have?
Yeah, so at this point, our focus has been to build the infrastructure to collect this data, right? And we focus on deploying this at the intersections, the on-ramps and off-ramps, deploying it at the communities, because traffic is vital to our economic vitality. Without understanding where people came from, where they went, without knowing the congestion and conditions on the roadway, we can't collect this data. So government is our partner in helping deploy this network. They need this data more than anyone else to manage and maintain their roadways and build an effective community, but there are additional benefits, you're right. And we see that working hand in hand. Some communities see this as an opportunity to lure in businesses, use this data to say, hey, look, this would be a great place to put your business. Here's why. Please come to our town. Mm-hmm. Also, on the other end is, hey, you're generating more traffic than you said you would. We can see the type of congestion you're generating on these roadways. You only agreed to pay for an X amount of tax to drive this amount of traffic in. Now we can validate those results. Those are the types of technologies that allow the private and public sector to come together in our platform to provide this benefit. But initially for us, it's a deployment of this technology across the U.S. to build the infrastructure to collect the data, then make sense of it, and then, of course, find additional ways to provide value in our communities by monetizing it again with real estate and marketing in other ways that benefit the local community.
How widespread are your clients? You started in 2014 in Salt Lake City. Where are you now?
Yeah, so in 2017, we were in three states, Utah, Idaho, Colorado. In 2018, we expanded to 12 states, and we'll see how far we get this year, but we'll be selling in 33 states and maybe even Canada by the end of this year.
And how many do you employ?
There's 12 of us today, and I think that number will double by the end of the year.
Wow. Something that you said a few minutes ago made me think about the point at which ski resorts decide to charge for parking. Is that something that you are going to help Park City and Deer Valley determine when they get to that tipping point where, you know, they get like Jackson Hole, for example, and many other ski resorts that actually charge at the resort bases for parking?
So my suspicion is that we won't be beneficial necessarily to the specific parking application, because that'll be a supply and demand issue as the parking spots get taken up. But where this could factor in is if the congestion caused by the backup from the skiing, you take, for example, Little or Big Cottonwood Canyon, where you have very limited access and UDOT will impose a toll at some point in time, identifying what that toll should be, when that toll should be initiated, and automating that is the type of technology that Blinksy can build. Those are the types of ways that I see that maybe happening. It's really just to try and alleviate the traffic and congestion in those areas and try to smooth the flow of traffic, because there are safety issues, right? Allowing emergency vehicles to get by, making sure there aren't too many people in a crowded place. There are significant public concerns for why government agencies need to step in and address these types of issues. And we would like to provide the data to help them do that. And of course, also provide the metrics back to the private sector customer that says, hey, the government policy is working or it's not working, and here's the data to prove it, so you guys can figure out the best means to benefit both parties.
Mm. Were you part of the Center for the Technology Venture Commercialization that the University of Utah provides in helping students and professors with ideas to get their products out to the market?
So I was a student at the Lassonde Center at the University of Utah, and through Lassonde, as the development director there, I was able to work with TVC for several years commercializing university-owned technologies. It's how I got the confidence and the skills, and in large part, the resources to be able to start this business to begin with. So I wasn't specifically working with TVC. This is not a TVC technology. We did work with TVC through Lassonde to build what we've built today.
That's an extraordinary organization, and they've gotten so many products out, and they have so many products that they license and everything else. It's really good. CEO Mark Pittman from Blinksy, we want to thank you for joining us. On the data collection side, are you going to stay in the Salt Lake area, or do you want to expand out to other cities?
So few people know this, but Utah is one of the most advanced and progressive transportation systems in the country. UDOT's considered the pioneer, the king. So we love our home here in Salt Lake City.
And the Olympics had a lot to do with
that. And the Olympics, right? We got to rebuild our infrastructure, but it's also